Where are you at? With those without the knowledge of God. I'm not used to you being all the way back there. All right. So you can sit there and say that the Gentiles are not walking in a way that is pleasing. And so that's what we're talking about. They're doing the opposite of what the Lord wants. So let's run through this. In the futility of their mind, Well, I was thinking about this. Have I ever been in the futility of my own mind? Yes, I have. You get thinking about things and you're like, I am for sure that this is the way it should be. And then you pray about something and it ends up going the opposite direction. Does Todd Watchers, once again, talking to myself, do I go, well, Lord, I'm not exactly sure I agree with that path. Are you sure about that? Or do I say, all right, the Lord has chosen this direction. I'm going to go with it. And I'm going to try my best to understand it and see how I need to fit in with this. That takes a lot of maturity to stop and think about, okay, how do I continue forward? Because this isn't quite the way I would prefer it. So do you trust in the Lord? They think in the futility of their mind are always thinking that we humans tend to, well, we know what's best. Are we not wise? Are we not educated? Do we not understand and fathom things that no other generation before us has ever fathomed? It reminds me of the time, this little story that someone once shared back up in Montana, and it was a preacher, and I can't remember his name, but anyways, he said one time, he said, all the great scientists of the world had come to God. And to God they said, we no longer need you. God, of course, says, really? No, we figured all this out. We've gotten so good now that we can even make our own human. We can make a man just like you. Really? Okay. So, we, the people, the great smart scientist, are going to challenge you, O great God, to see who can make a man. If we can make one equal or greater than you, then we no longer need you. You can move on. Okay. I'll accept your challenge with some amusement. And they're like, okay. So they all start to, they sit there and goes, God says, of course, we're going to do this the way I did it, right? And they say, well, yes, of course. We're going to start with dirt, right? From the dust of the earth, right? Yes. Okay, well, very good. So they all start grabbing their buckets and their little shovels, and he goes, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Go get your own dirt. So, see, that is called futility of mind. That's sort of that concept. Now, they were darkened in their understanding. I've been there before. I've been there. I still am on occasion. I don't quite understand everything God does and what he might allow, but I know that in the end game, I have to always be thinking ahead and knowing that God is in control. So once again, there's this trust factor, right? This is something that we learn in Christ, and it's something that we mature on, and we're going to discuss this a little more as we get going. This is interesting. They're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Now, the question is, how many of you in your time have chosen to be ignorant as opposed to just being ignorant of something? Have you ever just... Ignorant is not bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. Not in the way of Christ. Because of the hardness of their heart. You ever been hard in your heart? Well, this is what, once again, as we go through this list, this is who Paul is talking to. These are Christians who used to be like this, having become callous, hard, giving themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. They were evil. They chose darkness. And they refused to acknowledge God. They refused to acknowledge that he is present. They deny God. We question God. We doubt God to the point that we become these things. We start thinking that, well, maybe I do know more than God. Maybe my understanding is more than what he gives me credit for. You know, you start excluding yourself from the life of God. And if you exclude yourself from the life of God, what is opposite of the life of God? It is death. So, continuing on. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. So we're laying away the old self. The old self that lied, deceived, that loved the darkness, the old self that chose to remain and bask in the darkness. In Christ, we've been set free from the darkness. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now you're starting to get back to what God wants you to be. You renew and you think, God is great. Humans, I question. I know that we have an accountant, and well, he's accountant slash finance, but he always jokes around before meetings. He says, in God, I trust. All others, bring data. And he will always say that almost every time. And so we have to bring our Excel sheets in there and go through all these Excel sheets with all of our budgets. Put on the new self. So now you have this old self laid to the side. I am no longer going to that. But this is interesting. You see the action here? The action is you put on the new self. The new self isn't something you put in the closet. Hey, I got a new suit. I'll put it in the closet. Now, that's typically what I do with my suits. But you don't. That's not it. This, you're wearing this. This is your new self. And if you're going to wear something, others are going to see it. Now, here's something cool about the new self, which in the likeness of God, all of a sudden I've lost connection. Can you click that, see if it get going again? Thank you. Been created in righteousness. I have totally lost this thing. We're going to have to go through and click. Thank you, guys. And in the holiness of the truth. I really thought that last one was pretty cool. So you're created in righteousness. This new self is created in righteousness, but there's the holiness of truth. Now, truth is not what you make it. All right, we know that in today's world, a lot of people try to use that phrase or live according to that ideology. But truth is not what you make it. Truth is what God intended it to be. And what's cool about it is that he intended truth to be holy. This is really a bummer. Let me see if I can switch out clickers because I like, just toss me a new one. No, don't toss it. I'm joking. Hold on just a second. Cool. Momentary reset. See, technology is great until it quits working. All right. So therefore, we're laying aside falsehood. We speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Speak truth. I like this one. This one I had to really think about, and I'm not really going to go deep into it tonight. But it is interesting. It says, be angry and yet do not sin. I think the intent here is that if you're upset about something, perhaps a sin or an evil that has been done, you can be angry about that. But don't sin, all right? So if someone else has sinned against you, that doesn't mean you're going to go sin against them. You can be angry about it, but don't go and sin with it. And we've all heard this. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, all right? That means you need to settle that relationship. Whatever has happened, you need to straighten that out. I don't sleep good myself when that happens. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Of course, this is what this is continuing on. Man, how many times have I given the devil an opportunity because of my anger, my impatience, my own futility of thought? I've done that many times. He who steals must steal no longer. Now, you know, I've read past this verse because I've never considered myself a thief. But this is really actually pretty intriguing. Instead, he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. You ever thought about that verse? I've just glossed over this verse before, I guess. But I thought that was interesting. You know, stop stealing, brother. Start working with your hands so that you can give to somebody. There's an interesting thought. It's not just steal and take care, quit stealing and work with your own hands and take care of yourself, but so you can share with someone else in need. That's a major, take it to a whole nother level beyond human understanding. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give you grace, so it will give grace to those who hear. Is that how you consider your words when you speak to people, speaking with people? Do you ever think of yourself doing that? I mean, I'm always thinking, wow, okay, good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who... Am I being graceful when I talk to y'all? You don't need to answer that right now. It's rhetorical. But do you walk around going, am I giving grace to those who are hearing me? That's pretty awesome. All right. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Now with this one, the way I'm reading it, understanding it, this has to do with getting away from that old self, wearing that new self, doing these things that are expected of you, these higher expectations that God is expecting of you, than just staying mired down in the darkness of this world. If you go back to that, it's going to grieve. I think something that is very telling of God is that back in Genesis chapter 6, he was grieved. When he saw the sin of the people he had created, and that hurt him. Let all bitterness, now this is really interesting. I want y'all to think about this. You let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you. Oh, and by the way, along with all malice. When I read that, I was like, man, he had to throw malice in. I sort of look at that and I'm thinking, isn't malice sort of similar to some of that? But I guess this is a pretty extensive list so that none of you can get away with anything. So that Todd Watchers can't get away with anything, along with all malice. This isn't the way the world thinks, and that's my point as I'm going through this list. I want you to understand what this world thinks like, where we have been, what God has done for us. This goes back to the first few lessons in this series, is that I want to put us back in the place of what we have now in the light, opposed to what we had in the darkness, and realize that there are people in the darkness that still want to come into the light. And we are the people who can help them into the light. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I'm not great at this. Hey, I can be kind to some people sometimes. And tender-hearted, well, that one's a tough one sometimes. Just depends on what mood I'm in. I've got a daughter, 8 years old. Jennifer always has to give me the eyeball because I have to really lay into the boys sometimes to get the connection of what I'm trying to say to them. With her, I just have to look at her a certain way, and I mean tears start rolling. I'm like, I'm not used to that. It's like trying to sharpen an axe on a stone. with the boys and with her, it's like taking a rose petal and I don't want to cut the rose petal on the axe. You know, it's a little different. Girls are just, you know, that way. But she is definitely a little tender-hearted, and I got to be a little more tender-hearted when I work with her. Forgiving each other, not always the easiest thing to do. It depends on how deep it was the cut, how close you are to that person, at least for me anyway. But Christ has also forgiven us. Now, that brings us up to this point. So I know that was sort of a crash course to the chapter 4, 17 through 32. But this is where we're going to get to here. All right. Therefore, be imitators of God. I've been thinking hard about this one. Now, if there is anything that Christ Jesus, our Lord, definitely was His Father, right? He was our Heavenly Father. He imitated Him. He showed us everything our Heavenly Father would do when He engaged with people. And it's pretty cool. God has a love. He has a compassion for His creation when it comes to human beings. There is something that He just absolutely loves about us. And how do we know that? Because He sacrificed His own Son. If there is any more proof that He loves the human race, it just is simply saying Christ Jesus hung up on a cross. That's how much He loves you. And it isn't just those in this room. It is those in the light. It's those who are in the darkness. This is where we come in. So how do we imitate God? That's a tough one. Anyone perfected in that yet? Tyrone, have you perfected that part yet? All right. You got to love wives. Anyways, if y'all didn't see that, Tyrone said almost, and his wife's over here almost going. But anyway, you got to love them. So, therefore, be imitators of God. Let's just look at these right here. As beloved children, do you believe that you are a beloved child of God in Christ? Rhetorical question at this moment. I'm not asking you to raise your hands. I want you to really think about this. Do you really believe that you, with all the warts and all the other things about you, do you believe that you are a beloved child of God in Christ? If you do not believe that, or you're just not really sure about that, you got to let that, you got to take that and accept it. You have to let that soak in deep to the core of your heart. And you have got to realize that you are, yes, in Christ Jesus, a beloved child of God. And walk in love. Because, see, this is what we're continuing on with. You walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. You know, God had this thing about aroma. He apparently likes meat that cooks. But this is an interesting twist here. Here the aroma isn't a burnt sacrifice on an altar. Here the aroma is this love. This love that is in Christ. So when we all gather together, maybe when we're separate, you know, you can take a spoonful of that good-smelling stew, and you might be able to hold up that spoon in a room, and maybe the people right closest to you might smell the, that smells sort of good. But now you take that, all those spoons, like each one of us, and you put us in a big pot, and here we are sitting here in this church family. I just wonder if to God that is just a pleasing aroma. As we sit here encouraging one another in Christ, rooted and built up. That's awesome to think about. So, verse 17, we're going to talk a little bit more about it in a second. I'm not intending to skip all the way through, but there's a lot to cover here in short time. Verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is. That is where we're going to go to. Before we do, we got to cover this just a little bit more. Now, long time ago, Nathan, and I think I've already shared this a little bit back in the first lesson, the introduction. Nathan Ingram talked about the time he was out mowing, and his boy Logan, who's now, if y'all know Logan, Logan's big old fella now. He said Logan came. He said he kept seeing this movement. While he's out mowing the grass, he kept seeing his motion. He turned around, and there's little Logan with his little toy, pop-pop, little plastic mower, the ones you push, and it goes tack, 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 tack. Now, that's exactly what we're talking about. See, you got this little boy up here. He's got his little toy mower, and he's just trying to be like Dad. Trying to be like Dad. To Nathan's point back in the day, he says, my son was not doing anything to help me when it came to mowing that yard with that little plastic mower. My son was not helping me whatsoever in mowing the yard. He was just pushing some of the grass trimmings around. He was knocking over the ant piles and stirring them up. There wasn't much help here in my son. But what did my son, who at that time I think he said might have been 4 years old, what did his son think he was doing? He was being like his dad. And what do you think, in that little boy's head, as he's being like his dad, how excited do you think he was, that little boy, when he's out there and he's pushing that little mower? He was excited. He didn't know he wasn't cutting grass. He just knew I was looking like my dad. But he was excited about being out there behind his dad. And you know what? Nathan said that he was extremely proud. The kind of buttons popping off your chest, kind of proud. Because that was my son trying to be like me, imitating me. But he wasn't doing nothing except just imitating me. He wasn't doing nothing else to help me whatsoever, but he was imitating me. Do you see the difference there? How do we imitate God? And sometimes maybe Todd Watchers thinks, well, I don't know how to imitate God. How do you be like God? I don't know. My temper's so short, and sometimes some people just get under my skin, and sometimes, I'd rather just not deal with people today. And, you start going through all these things. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do that. Oh, I'm too shy to talk to that person, or whatever goes through your head. Because we're worried about messing something up. Well, I'm not going to do this right anyway, so why should I do it? But that's not the way God sees it. That's not the way Nathan saw it the day that his son was out there. He wasn't sure. He wasn't interested in his son doing something right. He wasn't interested in the rows being straight. His mower didn't even cut grass. It just made noise. But he was so happy that his son came out there to imitate him. Now, my story was Joshua, who y'all seen Joshua lately, he's up this big, but he was probably about 3 or 4. And one time I had to replace the faucet on the bathtub. Joshua came in just to business. That boy had a focus, and he walked in there, and he had all these plastic tools. He had a yellow wrench and an orange hammer and a blue screwdriver, and it's all made of plastic. Wasn't going to do me a lick of good. But all he knew is Dad had his tools in that bathroom, and he walked in there with his tools, and he was ready to go. And he's just looking over the bathtub. Like, what do I need to do? He looked up at me, and he's like, what do I do? So I just told him, I said, just start pounding on the faucet here. Didn't do me a lick of good, but it made him feel all good and happy. I said, all right, I think you loosened that up enough for me now. I think I'm convinced, people, that if we're that proud of our children when they just out of their own nature want to imitate you and show up there trying to do something that they think is going to help you or be like you, God is smiling. And you are back to that, you are a beloved child in Christ. That is good stuff. Then there's this understand what the will of the Lord is in verse 17 of chapter 5 in Ephesians. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, we got this be imitators of God, and then we have this part, the will of the Lord. Understand it. Well, I've come down to this. It has to do with how you spiritually mature. And how do you spiritually mature? Well, you try your best. You imitate. And by the way, my children, when it comes to mowing the grass, don't necessarily imitate me to my level of perfection of mowing the grass. But they get out there, and they at least get it done, and I can get the weed eating done, and I'm happy that I can look back and go, okay, I got to mow the backyard. So it's done. But they're now at a level where they're no longer 3 or 4 years old. They're now 11 and 14. And I expect more of them. And they have matured. And yes, they've imitated me. And maybe some days they imitate me beyond what I want them to or what they even want to themselves. They'll say something and I'll be like, that sounded just like me. So you try your best, and that's how we start off as children. And we keep trying to imitate. And then we keep studying the Word of God because that's how we learn to imitate. And then we live the Word of God because reading something isn't good enough. You can read it and put it away and it's no good. We know that from reading James. He said, don't be merely readers of the Word, be doers. You live the Word and then you pray. These are all action. All action. Imitating, studying, living, and praying. And you become closer to the Father, and we slowly but surely start naturally become second nature imitating our Father, and we start understanding the will of God. Now you're like, well, Todd, how do you do that? Well, I'll tell you how it happens for me. I ain't saying it happens all the time. I'm just saying that as Todd Watchers tries to align myself with my Heavenly Father, what I find out is that, wham, wow, I know what that scripture means now. Today, I saw this scripture in action when I was talking to somebody about God or about their spiritual relationship with God. And then all of a sudden, it was like, that's what that meant. And when you start seeing the Word of God come to life, and you will, there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Word of God is living and active. We are the action, and He is going to faithfully back us up. He is going to help us. If we are truly out there imitating Him and doing His will, and trying our best to understand His will and do His will, is He not going to smile? Is He not going to be happy? I'm not saying things aren't going to be tough when we're doing these things, but what I am saying is that He's going to be right there. All right. Okay. For you were formerly darkness. You were formerly darkness. Now you are light in the Lord. You walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Ooh, boy, I tell you what. Trying to do what pleases the Lord is not easy. It isn't. Not for me. Maybe over time it becomes easier for some. But I guarantee you it has to be a lot easier as you get doing things, right? Practice makes perfect. Okay, well, maybe not perfect because I don't think I've ever practiced anything enough to be called perfect at it. But as I get to do things, it becomes more of a second nature instead of being a burden. I just all of a sudden can do it. When I started learning to drive, I drove a stick shift. My dad taught me how to do a manual transmission. I had three on the tree in this first truck, And then after that, I went to 5 on the floor. And, you know, at first, let's face it, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to pick on you, honey, too much. All right. Jennifer, we nicknamed her Bucky. But anyway, getting that first gear and getting that first gear going, that can be tough for some people. You got to baby that clutch and work that first gear and you get all that gas pedal going just right and everything just, you know, and you get going and you shift the gears, everything's good to go. It was tough. You know what? After a year, you don't even think. You just get in the car, and you know, next thing you know, you're beat bopping down the road instead of bucking along off, you know. Did that poor instructor, did you Bucky him? Not instructor, but the guy you took out, the guy who does the test for the driver's license and driving, did you buck him? Oh, no, anyway, I wasn't allowed to be in the car. But awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, this is interesting. Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Come out of the darkness. Just come out of the darkness and into the light. You're set free. You no longer have to go back into that old self, into that darkness. In order, we now understand this. Sometimes we might forget it, but we understand this difference between the darkness and the light. There's a lot of people in this world that maybe understand it, maybe they don't care, but maybe some people just really don't understand. And that's where we come in. We come in because now we can sit there and say, look, I've been on this path. And the end of the darkness is not good. But the light never ends. It's eternal life. And that's what we have. If this is all good for us, then it's all good for everyone. Jesus said, I have not come into this world to heal. Who is he looking for? Who is he going to heal? It was the sick. And the sick are those who are in the darkness, of which I am one of those who were formerly sick. All right. So we understand what the will of the Lord is. Now I went and grabbed a couple of these verses out here just to think about. This is Matthew chapter 7. My goodness, it's 21. Okay. Let's say my eyeballs are bad. All right. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Matthew 12:50, Mark 3:35, both of them say the same thing. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away. That's the darkness, y'all. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. That's pretty cool stuff, right? This is what we are. We are the children who are beloved, and we are the light. We need to shine. We need to shine like that door a while ago that you saw where the light is shining into the darkness. That's what we need to do. We are to shine into the darkness. We are the place where people know that if they want to come to the truth of the Lord, that is what we are. So, I've been challenging myself, like I said, when I started doing this class, I've been challenging myself to start being more open about my faith. Not in a foolish way, hopefully, But when I say open about my faith, is that I don't mind striking up a conversation with people about their spiritual health or their relationship with God. It's not easy. People look at you funny. All right. That's fine. But you know what? So far, I find that people become very open. More open than I expected. There's always one that's like, yeah, whatever, you know. That's a bunch of religious hoo-ha. But I find that there are a few who are like, you know, I've been thinking more about that. So I'm slowly doing this at, well, I spend a lot of time at work. I don't know about the rest of y'all. So anyway, that's where most of the people are that I engage with. So that's my goal, is that I've picked out a few people that I just try to strike up conversations with. And then as I get an interest or what appears to be an interest, then I'm trying to continue that conversation with a person. And some of these people, y'all, I've known for over 10 years. And I've never even had hardly a conversation with them about their spiritual health. That is one of the issues that bothers me, Todd Watchers. So, this is me doing this class. This is me, like I said, being a little bit vulnerable and opening myself up to all of you. And I'm trying my best to understand the will of God, because I truly believe that I've been pretty close to imitating God. I just haven't taken it to the next level of maturity and really understood the will of God. So that's where I'm at with tonight. That's why I went into Ephesians talking about engaging like Christ, is because I want us to understand where we've been, where we are, where what we have, and let's just go for it. So anyways, I'm going to open that up to anyone who might have questions or comments, because we still have a few minutes here. I forgot where my mic was. And I might put you on the mic. Is that Randy over there? Y'all, I'll tell you what. If y'all ever, this is a big old teddy bear of a brother over here. I love this guy.
Actually, Brant and I was teaching Titus this.
It's on. You're on.
We were teaching Titus, and you talk about bringing up in conversations, like a friend or a stranger. But it also says in Titus chapter 3, verse 10, warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, you have nothing to do with him. I think that's like if you bring up something to a friend and he doesn't want to hear it or something, and you try a second time and he still doesn't want to hear it, you just walk away. Or, you know, warn him once, warn him twice, and then the third time, walk away.
So. All right, that's fair enough. All right. Well, come to the back here. Hold on, y'all. Yes, I know everybody loves to look at this mic.
He tells us how we need to, you know, to be called out from the world, that we need to do the will of God and not be conformed to the world. And one way we can do that is just in our everyday conversations with people, whether they realize or not, they're seeking, they're searching, and we have the light. And there's a conversation I had the other day with a coworker, and he's this single guy, he's 30 years old, and he's dating this girl, and they were talking about marriage. And so we were discussing marriage and how important it was, and to go, you know, I told him, if you go into that marriage, you need to go into it as a lifelong commitment. It's not something you just throw away. And then we got into a little more discussion, and we talked about how, kind of personal, but we never had sex before we were married, me and my wife. And the reaction from him was just like, oh my gosh, he told me, he said, I've never met anybody like that before. And I thought, you know, that's terrible, you know, because we take it for granted in the family that we're in Christ, that everybody lives like we do sometimes.
Yeah.
And just the discussions I've had with this fella for the last couple of weeks, there's no telling what impact it might have on him.
Yeah.
And it's just, a lot of times it's just everyday conversations that may come up. We need to show them that there is a different life out there, that there's a life that's in Christ, and we're not conformed to the world. And it's not going to help you a whole lot if you're not trying.
That's right. All right. I see another hand. I'm sorry. I wasn't looking up very good. All right. I appreciate those brothers' comments. That's where we're going to go next week. So we're going back into the Gospels. And I think you're going to find that a lot of our brethren here are doing this. You probably have met a few. We have a lot of really neat people in this congregation. Some you may know about, some you probably don't know about, who are actually out there doing things like what we're going to be discussing next week. They're meeting in prisons, and they're doing classes. They are out there trying to help the hungry and the thirsty and those who need clothing. They're meeting with strangers. They're doing all these things, and we're going to see what Jesus says about these things next week. We've heard it before, but it's something that I have to be reminded of because I read through that again, and I was just sitting there going, man, I just forget about some of this. Am I that bad? I can't remember. I heard, who was it that said the other day that they used to read in the Jewish culture, was it you, Elton, that said that they memorized, is it the first five books? I'm sorry, and we're reading through that, and I'm going, wow, they memorized all that, huh? It's impressive to me because I just don't know if I memorized anything that extensive by the age of 12. Wow. So anyways, that's pretty cool. All right, y'all, that's all I have for tonight. That's where we're going next week. If you want to read ahead, please do. And we're getting close to the end of this class, which is on the 29th.